Dearly beloved, we have come together in the presence of God, our Heavenly Father, to render thanks for the great benefits that we have received at His hand, to set forth His most worthy praise, to hear His holy words, and to ask for ourselves and on behalf of others those things that are necessary for our life and salvation. O come, let us worship Him. Let us kneel and bow down before Him. Let us confess our sins with penitent hearts and obtain forgiveness by His infinite grace and mercy.
Almighty and most merciful Father, we have strayed from Your ways like lost sheep. We have followed the devices and desires of our hearts. We have offended against Your holy law. We have done those things which we should not have done. We have not done those things which we should have done. Have mercy on us, O Lord. Spare us and restore us according to the promises You have declared to us in Jesus Christ, our Lord.
The Almighty and Merciful Lord has granted us pardon and forgiveness for all of our sins, grace for true repentance and amendment of life, and the comfort of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you.
The portion of our passion history that we meditate upon this evening is recorded for us in Matthew's Gospel, the 26th chapter, beginning with the 57th verse. "And those who had laid hold of Jesus led him away to Caiaphas the high priest, where the scribes and the elders were assembled. But Peter followed him at a distance to the high priest's courtyard, and he went in and sat with the servants to see the end. Now the chief priests, the elders, and all the council sought false testimony against Jesus to put him to death, but found none. Even though many false witnesses came forward, they found none. But at least two false witnesses came forward and said, 'This fellow said, I am able to destroy the temple of God and to build it in 3 days.' And the high priest arose and said to him, 'Do you answer nothing? What is it these men testify against you?' But Jesus kept silent. And the high priest answered and said to him, 'I put you under oath by the living God. Tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God.' And Jesus said to him, 'It is as you said. Nevertheless, I say to you, hereafter you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the power and coming on the clouds of heaven.' Then the high priest tore his clothes, saying, 'He has spoken blasphemy. What further need do we have of witnesses? Look, now you have heard his blasphemy. What do you think?' They answered and said, 'He is deserving of death.' Then they spat in his face and beat him, and others struck him with the palms of their hands, saying, 'Prophesy to us, Christ, who is the one who struck you?' Now Peter sat outside in the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him, saying, 'You also were with Jesus of Galilee.' But he denied it before them all, saying, 'I do not know what you are saying.' And when he had gone out to the gateway, another girl saw him and said to those who were there, 'This fellow also was with Jesus of Nazareth.' But again he denied with an oath, 'I do not know the man.' And a little later those who stood by came up and said to Peter, 'Surely you also are one of them, for your speech betrays you.' Then he began to curse and swear, saying, 'I do not know the man.' Immediately a rooster crowed, and Peter remembered the word of Jesus who had said to him, 'Before the rooster crows, you will deny me 3 times. So he went out and wept bitterly." Here ends the portion of our passion reading.
O Lord, have mercy upon us.
And just a correction from what is printed on the sheet in front of you. The theme this evening is, "Behold the hidden glory of the cross. It is hidden in the Savior's solitude." The text for this evening is correct, as printed there. It is from Luke 18, reading verses 31 through 34. "Jesus took the 12 aside and told them, 'We are going up to Jerusalem, and everything that is written by the prophets about the Son of Man will be fulfilled. He will be handed over to the Gentiles. They will mock him, insult him, spit on him, flog him, and kill him. On the third day he will rise again.' The disciples did not understand any of this. Its meaning was hidden from them, and they did not know what he was talking about." Dear Lord, these are your words, and therefore they are the truth. We ask that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. In our Savior's words that we study this evening, the Savior gives us a blood-curdling preview of all of the events that are about to unfold in the great drama of Lent. It's horrible to the extreme, and it is shocking. The Creator of the universe will be mocked and insulted? How can this be? The one who gave us the breath of life will be beaten within an inch of his life? How can that be? The author of every good and perfect gift that you have ever received from the day you were born will be cruelly tormented and shamefully executed? His glory is hidden. It's completely hidden in the cross. Do you ever wish, as you hear the events of Lent, do you ever wish that you could have been there? Do you ever have this kind of a thought? Jesus, why didn't you just take me along with you? I could have helped. Maybe I could have wiped your face with a cool towel. Or maybe I could have yelled at that crowd and told them, don't you realize that everything that he's doing is for your salvation? Or maybe I could have been just one defense witness for you at your trial before Pontius Pilate. Just some little thing to help you, to help lift that burden just a little bit off of your back. Something to show my love and my gratitude for you for all that you've done for me. Do you ever think something like that during Lent as we again follow him as he journeys to the cross? In our reading for this evening, Jesus takes his disciples aside and he says to them, we are going up to Jerusalem. And you and I also want to listen to this call of Jesus and follow him as he marches to the cross. Jesus says, we are going up to Jerusalem. But notice that after that one little word, we, the subject of the sentence changes. Jesus doesn't say, we are going up to Jerusalem and we will suffer. No. We must go up with him, but it is Jesus alone who must suffer all of the things that he described in our lesson. The Son of Man will fulfill the scriptures. The Son of Man will be mocked, will be insulted, will be spit upon, will be flogged and killed. Everyone, therefore, who follows after him, the disciples of old and us, today's disciples of Christ, we can therefore only be mere spectators as these events unfold in front of us. His glory is that he alone is the Savior. His glory is that our salvation should be entirely a gift that is brought about by his cross and his alone. His glory is hidden in his horrific solitude. Oh, how it saddens us that we can't help him whom we love and adore, Jesus our Savior. But no one could help him. Mary, his mother, couldn't help him. The 12 disciples couldn't help him. The church didn't help him, nor did the state. Ah, but what about the angels, someone might say? Didn't they help Jesus and tend to him? And that is true. The angels did serve Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. But of what Jesus describes in our lesson of the suffering of his trial and his execution, the angels are nowhere to be told. After the Garden of Gethsemane, the angels don't appear again until Easter Sunday. But there is more. Jesus refuses Peter's advice and our suggestion that the script of Lent should be rewritten so that we can help out a little bit. In fact, Jesus arranges things, he even arranges things in such a way that the 12 disciples can't help him at all in his suffering, and neither can we. But there's more to it even than that. Not only can we not help Jesus in his agony, we caused it all in the first place. From beginning to end, all that he has said he will do on his journey, he is doing in our place, in our stead, on our behalf. Was he despised and rejected? We should have been. Was he left all alone in his hour of pain and suffering? That should have been us. Did even the Father abandon him in that crucial moment on the cross so that in the midst of life he was suffering the torments of the damned in hell? My God, why have you forsaken me? That should have been our damnation. We were conceived and born deserving that damnation. And it gets even worse. We don't even follow him to the cross, but often on a daily basis we turn aside from him. We have better things to do. We fix our mind and our heart not on him, but on our pleasures and our conveniences. After all, it's far easier to watch television than it is to pray. It's far more convenient to love gossip and the lusts of the flesh than it is to love his cross. For family bickering, there's always time. For his word and family devotions, well, maybe later. There's time right now for the sports page, not for a page of the Bible. In Jerusalem, Jesus suffered for everything that we are and have been when we did not perfectly love God and serve him with all of our heart, with all of our mind, and with all of our strength. Just think about it. If we could have helped him, even just a fraction, because of our sinful nature, it would have failed. We are sinners, and so everything we do is stained with sin. And so if we had a part in the plan of salvation, we would have ruined it all. And that is why this evening we rejoice. Even though we might feel sorrowful that we can't help Jesus, that, in fact, should be our greatest joy in Lent. He is our peace. He is our life. He is our salvation. It's he alone who must suffer, and he suffers alone. And that's exactly the way he wants it to be. His march to Jerusalem is a march of doom for him, but of triumph for you and me. It is defeat and death for him, but a victory parade for you and me. His face is set with determination to do all that needs to be done to fulfill the scriptures for us. His will is like iron, and it will not be bent to turn him away from the purpose of paying the price for our wickedness. So full, so perfect, and so complete is his love for you. So full, so perfect, and so complete is his desire for your salvation. He wants to do it. He not only doesn't need your help, he doesn't want it either. Every pore, every fiber of his being strains and stretches on the way to the cross and on the cross to accomplish your salvation. Just think about it. Without one bit of your help, he created you. And so too, without one bit of your help, he redeems you also. So, this Lent, go up with him to Jerusalem. Follow him, but not so closely as if you would help him. Go up with him and follow to the cross. Let us be filled with sorrow for our sin, which caused it all, but be filled with joy beyond all sorrow that he did it all, and he did it alone. Watch with him a while and see how great his love is for you, how perfect his solitude for you, how complete his atoning sacrifice for you. For that is his glory hidden in the cross, the glory that he wanted and won, the glory of redeeming you by his work there. Watch and keep watching until you hear that victory cry, "He is risen! He is risen indeed!" Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus unto eternal life. Amen.
Abide with us and with your whole church. Abide with us in the end of the day.